I want to talk about the unsound of bookshops. Now, what I'm about to say, it might not sound strictly scientifically accurate. I don't know anything about music or acoustics or how physics and biology wind together in the conch shell of a human ear. The only album, and I do mean the only album, I listened to for the first 14 years of my life was Christy Moore's Live at Vicar Street whenever we were in the car with Dad. And in the way that other Irish children can recite the Angelus from memory despite not having the slightest bit of religion, I can word for word, hup and grunt my way to that entire album because it's burned into my brain. I am no connoisseur of music. But a big part of being a writer is taking your incorrect assumptions about how the world works and wrapping them up in nice prose so they're on the right side of plausible. With that in mind, my possibly over-romantic understanding of acoustics is that whatever makes the sound is only one half of the equation. The other half of the equation is the space the sound happens in. The architecture. The listeners, if there are any. Like liquid. Being shaped by the container it's in. Sound and unsound. When I was little, my dad had this ritual. I grew up in this tiny village in Cavan, and sometimes at 4 o'clock in the morning, I would be woken with no warning by my dad shaking me awake and hissing, "Get dressed!" It sounds like the set of a disaster movie, doesn't it? My dad is this solid Viking of a man, so brusque and hardy, it's still really easy to forget that I've been taller than him for years. The first time it happened, I didn't know what was going on. The second and third time, I was just excited. See, Dad took these notions, occasionally, that the two of us would just go to Dublin together. You'd wake up at 4, be there by 7, there'd be nobody on the roads. The morning would be all pale and soft like uncooked dough, and there'd be this sort of fuzzy, unreal light to the sky. It was genuinely thrilling. And it's important to stress that it was not thrilling because my dad was taking me to secret restaurants and experimental theatre shows. I don't think Dublin had those in 1994, and if they did, my woodwork teacher father wasn't on the mailing list. Dad's day in Dublin was not a complicated affair. We went to the barber he liked in Stillorgan, where he used to teach. And then we went to Bewley's on Grafton Street for a fry. And then we went to a hardware shop that he liked. And then we went to bookshops. God, even the plurality of that world was a ridiculous and rare treat. There was one bookshop in Cavan at the time, and it was a good one, but I knew it back to front. In Dublin, it felt like there was one on every street. And all of them had their own particular aural architecture for me to obsess over. Chapters on Abbey Street was a tight and messy maze. There were books stacked on top of tables and underneath tables, and used to have to excavate out whole stacks to see what was behind. And I'm very aware I didn't help the crammed nature of the place, because the fantasy section was on the lower shelves, and I used to lie sideways on the floor so I could read it. People used to trip over me, I'm amazed I wasn't asked to leave. It was always busy, and that meant it was always loud. But the narrow lanes and crowded shelves did something to the sound. You could always hear people, but not always see them. The place felt overstuffed with conversation, like an old armchair, this muffled, irreverent chatter that spun the dust in the air. There were so many boxes of second-hand books and magazines and narrow lanes of traffic that I used to think that even after closing, you'd hear all those echoes of past conversations. Like the pages had trapped some of the personality of their old owners between them, and the books were now arguing like old neighbours on the shelves. There was Bargain Books, which was so small you were essentially on the street, and I used to flinch every time a siren went by. I was so hungry for books that I even dragged my dad into Veritas before I realised it was less about books and more about books on a theme. But if Chapters was overstuffed and chatty, then Hodges Figgis was like a church. One of my very first memories ever is standing on a green, slanted, carpeted floor in the midst of this great and complicated silence. The kind of silence you only get in churches, awed and reverent. In Hodge and Figgis, people browse and people talk, But something about the space hushes you a little. You talk quietly. Sometimes you even find yourself whispering. It's uncanny. And I think that quiet let me notice something. I was a reader. I was obsessed with books as a kid. And my dad wasn't. We always had books at home, but whether he read after we were asleep or I just had the myopia of childhood where you don't actually pay much attention to what your parents do when it isn't directly related to you. But I never saw him read anything. Dad was a man of action. He built things. He fished and he gardened for fun. I lived in Egypt for a year, and when I came home, I hadn't seen my dad for a full 9 months. And when I walked in the front door, he was sitting at the table in a full beekeeper's costume. And when my jaw hit the floor, he said, "Hello, I keep bees now," and then just walked out again. I'm more of a reader than a doer. I was a stay-inside kid. I liked reading about people doing things. It seemed safer. I was an adventureless kid, except for these trips. Going into those bookshops was gorgeous. Some of that was a selection, the fantasy sections 5 times larger than my house. But looking back, a lot of it was because my dad was bringing me into each one. And as he did, he would tell me a little about their history. He'd tell me about how long the shop had been there or how the inner architecture had changed since his last visit. And although he must have been bored waiting for me to exhaustively check every bargain bin and shelf and nook and cranny, he never showed it. I don't think kids realise when their parents are doing something explicitly for them. I think to be a parent is to be perceived to be confident, because a parent knows how the world works and kids don't. And a parent has power and money and autonomy and height and kids don't. Parents define the world for children. They certainly define its schedule. And so even though as a parent, everything you do is for your kids, kids assume that everything you're doing is for you and they're a semi-willing part of it. I thought we went to Dublin when I was little because Dad was very specific about where he liked to get his hair did. But that's not what it was. When I think of bookshops, I think about the busy silence of me staring intensely at each cover and title. I think about reading blurbs and author bios and quiet gasping at finding a Pratchett book I'd never seen in the limited selection down in Cavan. I think about getting on my hands and knees and being a spatial nuisance to everybody because I glimpsed the corner of a David Gemmell book or a new cover for a Tolkien book I already owned. And I think about the patient silence of my dad just letting me. Even though this wasn't his thing. Even though we were so different and kind of only starting to understand each other as people when I became a parent. I just remember the space that he gave me. How a man who wasn't much for reading, wasn't much for talking, particularly about feelings, used silence and patience to tell me something instead. To meet me in the middle, 100 miles from home. Like I said, I don't know anything about music, but I know harmony when I hear it.